Hello and welcome back to So You Want to Start a Business. I'm your host, Ingrid Thompson. These podcasts are a collection of interviews with business owners, entrepreneurs, and other smart guests so that you can learn tactics, strategies, and tips to implement in your business. If you're listening anywhere other than my website, you can find transcripts of all the podcasts over at my blog, healthynumbers.com.au. It truly has never been easier to go from having an idea to actually starting a business of your own. And ideas need action. Are you ready to meet today's guest? Today we meet Eliza Ludwig, who is the founder of a business called Bread Budgeting Services. Eliza started off wanting to make farming sustainable by using organic methods. And during her agribusiness degree, she decided to make businesses sustainable instead by using ethical practices. She started Bread Budgeting Services to satisfy her desire to see small businesses thrive. And today she shares her business startup story. Hello, and here we are today with Eliza Ludwig, and she's the founder and business consultant at a business called Bread Budgeting Services. Hello, Eliza.
Hello, Ingrid.
So lovely to have you here. It's a gorgeous, glorious Sydney autumn morning, and you're in Sydney as well, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I'm enjoying it too.
Enjoying it as well. Okay, so let's tell everybody, what is your business? What is the business that you're in, please?
Oh, it's hard to define. I've been trying to come up with a good elevator pitch, but I would describe my business as providing strategic plans for small business with an emphasis on the numbers.
So strategic plans with an emphasis on the numbers. Eliza, I might just get you a little bit, either put your sound down a tiny bit or maybe a little bit further away from your microphone. It just came through a bit sort of close there. So tell me, when did you start this business?
So it's been in the making for a long, long time. I think I first wanted to go into business about 10 years ago, but various life changes come along and it gets put off. I was made redundant in May 2015, and as part of that, I worked with a career coach, and so that's really when I transitioned. It's hard to put an exact date on when it first opened, but I took my first client in August of last year, so I suppose that's probably a good line in the sand.
Okay, so definitely it's been over the last couple of years. And why did you start your business?
I've always been passionate about small business. It's one of those things, I'll go into a local business. It could be the corner store, it could be the local cafe, and sort of have all these ideas for things that they could do to improve things or change things. And I've just always really wanted to help them. So I think, yeah, that was really why I wanted to. I wanted to support local businesses. And I also wanted to be able to put the skills that I have, which tend to be the skills that other people don't have, which is around maths and finance and accounting.
And a lot of the people who are really good at what they do aren't necessarily good at that side of the business.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I wanted to help them understand it and to make it accessible and even to like it, really.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. So what did you want from the business from day one? You know, what was the you wanted to help people, but what was, you know, what was behind that in terms of what did you want the business to give you?
Well, I suppose, yeah, there is that real strong sense of helping local business. I'm really passionate about communities, whatever community that may be. So I really feel that businesses succeeding locally is a benefit to everybody who lives in the area. I suppose from my personal point of view, when I became a mother, I started working part-time, but all of the part-time roles are so dull because I'm not there, I can't do the time-critical things. So I wanted something which was a bit more challenging than the part-time work I was doing.
That sounds like a very worthwhile combination of your needs and the client's needs. Very nice.
Yeah.
So you said it took a little while. You can't quite put your finger on a date when it all started. But when did you feel like you really were a business? When did that become real? You know, when was that point? Because different people have a different point. What was that point for you when it felt real?
So I got I sort of got a bit of cold feet and a bit of oh my gosh, I can't really do this, and I think sort of put the brakes on. But then I sort of changed tack and thought, okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm not going to try to focus on getting my first client first. I'm going to try and get together with other small business owners. So I started running a group where a group of small business owners that I knew, we all got together on a Sunday afternoon and had a cup of tea and talked about some stuff that's going on in our business. Like, my sales are really down this quarter. I don't know what to do about it. But it could also go, went into things like, oh, who hosts your website? What accounting package do you use? So it was anything and everything that just bouncing ideas off. And I think without the pressure of having to make money from that, because it was sponsored by myself, it just made me. It was a nice transition into it, but I know that when I hired that space and I ran that event, I really thought, okay, this is me, this is where I'm going.
Isn't that nice? What a lovely thing to do. That's because that's a real
Yeah.
giving to your community and inviting them to come and be part of what you're offering and just to talk about what they're doing.
Yeah,
So
exactly. And it helped me as well, because there are things that, I just don't know about. So it was great to sort of get other people's ideas as well.
So you wanted to help your customers and you knew that your customers needed your help, but how did you know that your customers would want what you were offering? How did you know that your business was viable, that you would be able to get customers, to come along and or clients really, because yours really are clients, aren't they, rather than customers? How did you know they were going to want what you were offering?
Oh, I talked to people beforehand, lots and lots of people. My husband was sort of like, you probably shouldn't tell so many people what you're doing. I thought, well, I don't know. Like, I got a lot of useful feedback. I actually ended up changing tack. I was going to do private or personal, individual financial stuff as well as business, and then I decided not to do that. And yeah, it was just talking to people. I also, as part of being made redundant, had a life coach, a career coach, excuse me. And she really took me through the process. And because she's sort of her own business as a career coach, she could help me see what some of the pain points might be, and therefore how to tailor my services to that. So yeah, I think talking to people was probably the main one.
Yeah, it's a really interesting dilemma, isn't it, between telling people your idea to get feedback about whether it's the right thing and then kind of not wanting to tell too many people. Yes, I mean, I hear that sort of thing quite often from people when they're starting a business. But the reality of, I guess, the reality of starting a business is that everybody will bring their own personal style to whatever they do. So there's really room for everybody, isn't there?
Absolutely, absolutely. I read a really good book by Ben Angel. I think it was Flee the 9 to 5. And he sort of takes you through a bit of a process, and he really helped me realize what my unique offering would be in terms of, and I just found that really helpful. It was something I certainly hadn't thought of.
That you can offer something quite unique and it's just the way you operate.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
I guess, you weren't setting up something that was quite elaborate, but you do need a website and you do need to get marketing collateral together and things. So, and as much information as you're willing to share, Eliza, I certainly don't want to intrude into anything personal there, but how did you fund the business in those early days?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I was very lucky that I was made redundant. So, I basically, I was lucky in so many regards that that happened. It was perfect timing, and the payout that I received, it wasn't much. But it was enough, yeah, to pay for the laptop, printer, insurance, website, a few legal fees. So yeah, I mean, I think really all up, it was probably only about $5,000 to $10,000 that I needed to spend. So comparatively, and that would probably be over a couple of years as well. So I think, yeah, I was really lucky. I haven't gone over that, and there's not really massive setup fees.
No, there's not a lot. And once your clients start paying you money, then you start to have an income, which then, allows you to pay for things that you need and pay
Exactly.
yourself.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, how do you find new customers? You mentioned that you like to walk around your local area, you do some networking. How do people find you?
Well, it's been interesting. I've actually found most of my current clients through my daughter's school. There seem to be a lot of small business owners in my area, and yes, their children go to my daughter's school. So it was either I knew them directly, mm-hmm, or they've been, you know, introduced through people that I have known. So that's
terrific.
That's been the main way. Mm. Yeah.
And so you
also, Go.
I
also spoke with the Economic Development Officer at Inner West Council, mm-hmm, John Whelan, and he pointed me in the direction of somebody who wanted to collaborate, which has been fantastic. We're at the very early stages of that, but mm-hmm, yeah, that's going to be probably my next round of getting new clients, hopefully.
Oh, really nice. Now, you talked about reading a book and getting an idea of what your niche was and what your unique offer. As part of that, did you identify who your ideal clients are?
Yes.
So you've got your ideal avatar. And then, and is that, does that match then with the people that you're meeting through your daughter's school?
It does. It's interesting. I suppose because I live in the inner west of Sydney, there seems to be quite a sense of community, I suppose, and quite a lot of similarities within the area, which is probably true wherever you live. But a lot of, so my avatar is really creatives, or people who are sort of you know, not necessarily financially minded, but have brilliant, brilliant businesses and things that I really want to foster and grow. And yeah, I have found that they've all fallen within that. Mm. And maybe it's just because I met those people that they were in mind when I was coming up with my avatar, or I'm not quite sure which came first, but yeah, I've been very lucky.
Well, and I'd like to suggest, Eliza, that it's actually not luck, that when you create that avatar, it's what you attract and it's what you are able to then connect with. And it doesn't mean that other people can't work with you, but it does mean that you will have a group of people who meet that avatar. I'm just going to change tact a little bit. Now, I've had a look at your website. Mm-hmm. Pretty fantastic. It's got lovely colours, and I love that sort of bread and the dough. And but you've got a pricing strategy there. So you've got modules and prices. How did you come up with a pricing strategy? I mean, I know you're a numbers person, but what was your process? Not so much the actual amounts, but what's the process and thought behind the strategy?
Yeah, so I suppose first and foremost, I wanted my business to be able to support other businesses. So I wanted it to be accessible. I didn't want it to be priced to a level that nobody could access it. So that's why I've got three different tiers. So I've got templates, which are sort of a DIY type of service, I suppose. You just use the template and go through it yourself. Then I've also got workshops, which is sort of with a group of other people, so you've got a bit more guidance but not necessarily one-to-one support. And then I've got consulting, which is one-to-one support. So my thinking behind that was so it could be accessible to different people with different needs. In terms of the templates, I really just price them to be accessible. Now, with the workshops and the one-to-one consulting, I sort of worked backwards, I suppose, in terms of what income I needed to make it, to cover my costs.
Yeah.
And then finally, I did do a quick check in terms of looking at other similar professions like bookkeepers, accountants, that type of thing, to make sure that I wasn't charging way over the odds or way below what they're charging. So I sort of use that as a bit of a yardstick.
So it's a very well thought through pricing strategy based on a range of different notions in terms of that. So another question, what's your exit strategy? Do you have and it's fine, lots of people don't have one because they don't really think. Yeah, people start businesses for lots of different reasons, but just do you have a exit strategy, and you know, what is it if you have one?
Oh, I would love to have an exit strategy. I've heard you question somebody else on that on a previous podcast, and that really got me thinking. But I have to say, I'm going to have to read more on it and think of what my options are. Mm. I don't know. It's in the back of my mind, but I don't know.
Maybe
it is a hard question.
Maybe I need to do a webinar about exit strategies and what the options are. That'd be helpful. Let's do that, indeed. Yeah, because it is actually something to think about that, you know, while we might not, you know, we imagine doing it for the next however many years, but are we building an asset to sell, or are we building something that's going to see us to a point? And then, you know, and there are some family businesses that go on. You know, I was just reading about a the company that makes the pawpaw. You know, the it's in a red container. That pawpaw. It's over 100 years old, and it's now the fourth generation of the family is running the business. So, you know, families do run businesses for many generations, but, you know, nowadays people want to start their own business. So, yeah. So having an exit strategy just is something to think about.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's have some reflective questions now. Eliza, what's one thing you really wish you'd done differently at the beginning?
I think I really wish I'd stopped procrastinating. I think this is actually something that I need to keep reminding myself of. I keep myself very busy, but I think, you know, it took me basically a year and a half to get a website. And, you know, it was all the fun stuff, but I didn't actually go, come on, Eliza, you need to pull the pin and really try and get some clients and some sales. Because I think that from doing that, it builds your confidence. It builds, it gives you some feedback in terms of what's working and what's not. You know, I could play around with my website and all of that sort of stuff forever. And ultimately, unless I'm getting clients, I don't know whether my services are going to be required or helpful. So I wish I had done that. And I really also wish I'd gone to more events. So I'm a bit of an introvert, so I find events hard. But every time I have left one, I've, you know, met inspiring people like yourself, and just felt so energized and, inspired by these people doing amazing things. So, I wish I'd done that earlier as well.
And done some more of that. And you may not have anything else to add, but I have a different question, and it's something to do with what do you really wish you'd known from the start? And I actually think that's a different thing to what you'd wish you'd done differently, because you know you need to get clients and you know you need to network, but, you know, whether you do them or not and what timing you do. But what was something you didn't know that you wish you'd known?
Oh, it seems, well, maybe it is and isn't strange, but I wish I'd known more about IT. So I mentioned my website, and I mean, I just had no idea about having a web platform, having a host, having a domain name, linking my email to my website, to my, you know, it just blew my mind. I found it so hard to get my head around, and I didn't know who to ask or how I could ask anyone. So I had somebody develop me my website at that stage, and she wasn't overly helpful. I mean, she was okay, but, you know, I really wanted somebody to sit me down. I mean, I'm an accountant, I suppose, so I wanted somebody to sit me down and show me the process and show me how it all worked, because it still is a little bit beyond me. I think that's probably the main thing, you know, and there's still so much I feel I don't understand. Somebody who I'm working with at the moment says, oh, do you use Google Docs? And I'm just like, you know, I don't know. I don't know what that is, you know. So it's like, okay, well, that's going to be a half day trying to research what the heck this is. little things like that I just don't understand.
If somebody asked me something, was I on? And I said, I'm actually not sure what that even is. It wasn't Instagram or Facebook, because I know what they are, but it was one of the other things. And they said, did I have a presence on that? And I thought, oh, I don't even know what it is. So probably not, you know.
Yeah,
absolutely. So it is. So I think you've just given me another idea for another webinar, actually. But
Good. Yeah.
So now, look, you've mentioned a few people that you've been working with, and but there's a really serious question about who, apart from yourself, has been of greatest assistance to you. Now, I know you've listened to other webinars, so you know how other people respond to this, and you don't have to say their names. It could be the essence of the person, but who has been of greatest assistance to you and your business?
I suppose really my career coach. I have to mention her, probably above my husband, just because I've been talking to my husband about it for years, but unfortunately, try as he might, he couldn't actually give me that final push to do it. Whereas I met with her every other week, and I was really very, you know, She held me accountable to doing it. So I think that would probably be the first. And I also sort of, my husband obviously works in an organization, so he didn't sort of understand when I said, you know, I'm just really scared. I'm really scared that people aren't going to like what I do. And he's like, oh, but you've had performance reviews before. But she was able to sort of say to me, Everyone thinks that. Mm. Don't worry, just keep going. And that really sort of just freed me to keep going. Mm. And my husband and my mum have been huge supporters of my idea and supporting with this, me with this. So my husband's supported me financially. Weekends, if I need to work, he's never even bats an eyelid. He's like, yep, that's fine. Yeah. And my mum too, you know, she's my cheerleader from the sidelines, so it's nice.
Yeah, those mums are pretty terrific, aren't they?
Yes.
So, and this sort of leads on from that, but Eliza, and you mentioned performance reviews, and any of us who've worked in corporations know they can be an interesting experience. Who can give you really useful feedback though? Like what feedback for you is useful in helping your business grow?
Yeah, so it's probably something I am somewhat lacking because I'm not totally aware of, I'm aware of what my pain points are as a small business owner, but, you know, I'm sure there are others of people who are more in a creative field or produce a product. So it's definitely something I'd like to get more of in the future, either through engagement through my social media channels or at my workshops. My husband is able to provide really great feedback as well. He's from a similar background, but his feedback is probably more technical around, you know, how I lay out templates or how I, you know, as opposed to really the small business side of it. So I've got some surveys to send out to past clients and current clients to try and get a bit of feedback, and I'm hoping that as part of the workshops that I run as well, I'll get some there. It's just I want it to get to a critical mass where people don't feel too embarrassed about leaving some feedback with me, you know, being able to attribute it to them directly. So yes. I just sort of want to get a big group all at once. So yeah.
Oh, that's quite nice. Yeah. So and so clients are a terrific source of feedback as well, aren't they? Really, because they get to help the way they help shape what else is coming. So given that you work with businesses, but partly from your own experience, what would be the one thing that you would recommend to someone starting a business? So if someone actually wasn't in a business already, because you kind of work with people who are already in a business, but if somebody came to you saying, look, I'm thinking about starting a business, what would you say to them? What sort of things would you tell them?
I would tell them to do a lot of research first. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit of a dreamer and a questioner, so I love doing the research part. But I feel, you know, I'm a member of a lot of Facebook forums for small business owners, and a lot of people get on there and sort of say, I don't know what's wrong, my product isn't selling, and so on. And if you actually look at their product and their pricing, you sort of think, well, actually there's a lot of people who are doing that, and although your prices aren't unreasonable, it's just going to be a competition of who knows you, and maybe you need to sort of slightly alter what you're doing. So I think I mentioned briefly before that I was looking at hoping to do some sort of similar strategic financial planning with individuals, not investment stuff, but just budgeting and things like that. But when I looked into it, I discovered there was two organizations who are already doing that, one of which was a national company and another one which was through the government, which was free. So by having just done a bit of searching online, I was able to save myself a lot of heartache and a lot of time in going down that route and go, right, that's being covered, I need to look somewhere else. So I think research is probably the main one I would recommend to everyone.
And making sure there's somebody wants what you're going to offer.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, again, I suppose that goes back to an earlier point, is just talking to people, seeing if people are interested in that. So,
yeah. Yeah, no, that's terrific. Now, let's talk about you, Eliza. What are the three characteristics about you? And you've alluded to a few of them through the conversation. But what do you think are those three key characteristics that make you successful in your business?
Yeah, so I think obviously, because it's a service, my financial background, I think, is what Now, if I didn't have that, then I probably couldn't really be going to businesses and saying I'd help them with their financial planning.
Yes.
I think I also was a pricing manager in a past life, so pricing is something that people struggle with. So that's probably, you know, a second part to that financial background. Yes, I did mention before I'm a questioner, so I ask a lot of questions, so I make sure that I've got the full picture from my clients. But I also, as part of that, I won't do things that I don't think are necessary, and I will also question when somebody says something isn't possible. You know, is it sort of, why isn't it possible? Is it because you don't want to do it? Is it because nobody's ever done it? Is it because it's against the law? You know, I mean, you know, getting to extreme cases. But, yeah, I'll ask a lot of questions. I think finally is I'm very organized. Being a solo operator, you've got, you know, you're a one person band, so you have to do everything. But I'm very okay, this day I will do some marketing, this day is when I do my my client meeting, you know, that type of thing. So I think it helps with the workflow, making sure that the workflow continues by sort of having quite a process around that.
Oh, very nice. So you bring a unique set of skills that make you very very important to the people that you work with. And so then as you communicate that, you know, through your blogs and through your communication, that helps to give your clients the confidence in what you actually provide, particularly around finances. I think people want to know, you know, that they're in good hands, don't they? Can I just clarify, you don't do any bookkeeping or accounting as such, do you?
Well, interestingly, I am doing a bookkeeping course. So that is something that I want to offer a bit further down the track. Because the way my work is it's sort of almost for a set period. There will be reviews, but, you know, they sort of come and I work with them and I go, whereas bookkeeping is something that would be continuous. So it is something I'm studying at the moment, but I don't currently offer, no.
No. Okay. I just wanted, and you're an accountant from a corporate background as opposed to a tax accountant.
That's exactly right, yes.
Yeah, a bit similar to myself in that way. So long ago, I mean, I can still do all the accounting, but, much more from a strategic and a global perspective as opposed to down there in the nitty-gritty of the accounts.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So, Eliza, thanks so much. Is there anything else that you would add that we haven't covered that you would like to cover? I know we talked before we started the interview about the name of your business, and there was a couple of interesting points you made about that. You may want to add something here. And the other thing, is there anything else you would add for somebody starting a business? Because the whole purpose of these podcasts is for people who are thinking about a business. And, you know, not everyone is going to be doing the same kind of thing as you, but there'll be lots of people listening who want to set up some type of consulting, who want to help others. There's a real, you know, theme that, you know, that idea that, you know, because a lot of us just want to help other people. And how we do that is our business idea. So I've really appreciated your time today, but I just wondered, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Yeah, okay. Well, firstly, the business name. I worked for a bakery all through high school and uni, and I absolutely loved it, actually. Thankfully, I don't have a gluten intolerance, so I still do eat bread. But it just struck me that I suppose one of my taglines of my business is simplicity. I love the simplicity of bread. I love the naturalness of it, I suppose, and the fact that it can sustain us. So that's sort of part of it. But obviously bread has been colloquial speak in the past for meaning money. So it's just sort of about bread being sustaining and simple and natural, bread being able to grow of its own accord before you cook it, obviously, and being nurturing, but also... it's also about money. So that's how I came up with the business name. Actually, that was the first thing I came up with. I came up with that years and years before I even actually knew exactly what I wanted to do.
But you knew it was going to be called bread.
Yes.
I think that's terrific. It's such a lovely story. And thank you for telling it, because I think it's such a lovely part of you and your story and your offering to the business community.
So, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Eliza, thank you so much. I shall put some notes about your website in the show notes that go with this and on the blog. And I thank you for your time. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Ingrid. It's been great talking to you.
It's been terrific.
Okay. Bye.
Hi, and if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you have a great idea for your own business startup. We understand you're keen to put time and energy to take your ideas and make them real. Eliza has given us some terrific insights in this podcast. I particularly find her ability to adapt and make changes as one of the reasons she continues to be successful. You may want to go back and re-listen to some of what she had to say. Or maybe you prefer to read the transcript, which is available at my blog at healthynumbers.com.au. On the Healthy Numbers website, there is a ton of other resources, including a terrific little startup readiness quiz that you might want to take to see where you are on your business startup journey. Remember, ideas are great, and ideas on their own, well, they're just that, they're just ideas. What can you do right now to take action on your ideas? Thanks for listening.